ego, and then in the body, senses and mind. When we are in false ego, we think ourselves to be the body, the senses and the mind. But we are not the body, the senses and the mind. Yesterday we heard an example given by Srila Prabhupada about a car which would drive, and Prabhupada asked the question, can you only go with the car? Does a person who drives a car stop to be when he is leaving the car? No. See, it is a person due to which the car goes. When the person leaves the car, he can also go. He just continues on. So, this person, this soul, has a great need for freedom. We are all freedom searchers. Even in the material world, you see how there are many peace movements, revolutionary movements, anti-authoritarian youth movements. You see how actually all young people at one stage of their life rebel against the establishment. These are all signs how we are freedom lovers. And in fact, I was just giving an interview about this in this newspaper called Non. Non. Huh? Nien. Yeah. And the question was put, why do you think there's always unrest amongst the young people? Why do they always rebel? And I tried to answer that this is natural. The soul is dissatisfied with any kind of situations which limit it. Like, you know, and when we come in kirtan, we want to dance freely, we want to forget our mind. In those few rare moments where we are successful, we have the feeling, well, this is right, this is the use of life, this is what I'm looking for. On when we are doing our service, there are certain times, stages, which you can experience whenever you surrender yourself, where you have the feeling, wow, now everything is possible. Now, by Krishna's mercy, I'm for a moment no longer on this material platform. This is actually the spiritual platform. You become very, very, very satisfied. In the material world, we want to imitate these stages of freedom. But because we are always using the material body, we are not experiencing that. For instance, the Arira, the original taste is sex pleasures. In sex, a person becomes completely free of social invention. He bites and he is screaming and he is sweating like a, you know, materially liberated person. This is the idea. But because they use a material body, they experience bondage. All kinds of diseases, all kinds of dirtiness within the mind, which keeps people like in a dirty cage, and many other things which we do not want to mention here are the results of trying to become free by using a material body which is under laws of material nature.
Yes, I think it's a very nice illustration, although some of us might not like to be reminded of this, but it is a fact. The adidas in the material world becomes the bondage number one. So about this freedom point, there's a very nice purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I wanted to read this purport to you all, since it is so nicely expressed. I read it this morning, and I was just in complete ecstasy. Maybe we can bring Kripa Dayal, first canto, chapter 2, then it's much easier to follow that purpose. So I will talk a little bit more until the book comes. Because I think this is a very important point which we have to always have in mind. It's the second chapter, verse number 8. So I think I will read this in English, and you please read simultaneously in Yugoslavian. I will start this: because foolish people have no information of the soul and how it is beyond the purview of the body and mind, they are not satisfied in the performance of their occupational duties. The question of the satisfaction of the self is raised herein. The self is beyond the gross body and subtle mind. He is a potent active principle of the body and mind. This point was illustrated by this example. The driver is actually the active principle of the car, because the car wouldn't run without the driver. Without knowing the need of the dormant soul, one cannot be happy simply with emolument of the body and mind. The body and the mind are but superfluous outer coverings of the spirit soul. The spirit soul's needs must be fulfilled. Simply by cleansing the cage of the bird, one does not satisfy the bird. One must actually know the needs of the bird himself. The need of the spirit soul is that he wants to get out of the limited sphere of material bondage and fulfill his desire for complete freedom. He wants to get out of the covered walls of the greater universe. He wants to see the free light and the spirit. That complete freedom is achieved when he meets the complete spirit, the personality of Godhead. There is a dormant affection for God within everyone. Spiritual existence is manifested through the gross body and mind in the form of perverted affection for gross and subtle matter. Therefore, we have to engage ourselves in occupational engagements that will evoke our divine consciousness. This is possible only by hearing and chanting the divine activities of the Supreme Lord. And any occupational activities which does not help one to achieve attachment for hearing and chanting the transcendental message of God is said herein to be simply a waste of time. So, the hankering of our spiritual soul for this freedom can be satisfied by the process of devotional service. See, we always commit one mistake, and that mistake is that we are satisfied with a limited form of achievement. this is a cardinal cardinal mistake of material life.
People are just satisfied with being in a limited state. We have the example of King Indra, who was cursed to become a pig, and who actually identified himself with the body of the king, the body of the pig, and was satisfied with eating stool. This is actually one of our conditions. In the Mahabharata, there is a very interesting story about a king called King Nala. This king was married to a very nice and very chaste wife. She was actually a wonderful person. However, because she was so beautiful, many demigods and also Kali personified, the age of Kali, wanted to marry her. So when this Damayanti was her name, when this Damayanti married King Nala, Kali became very, very envious of him. So he arranged that the brother of King Nala challenged Nala for a play of dice. This sounds familiar, I think, for many of you. So, it is described that Kali entered the dice, and in the play, King Nala lost everything. He only had one garment left. One cloth, and he was chased out of his kingdom. Now, at that moment, Kali entered his body. In addition to his sadness, he became Ludi. But his chaste wife, Damayanti, also went with him and accompanied him. So one day, Kali took on the form of a couple of birds. He's a great cheater, a great magician. So these birds landed, and this King Nala was completely hungry, so he took his garment and threw it over the birds in order to capture them and later eat them. Now, when he covered these birds with his garment, all of them, as if dancing to the hand of an unseen dirigent. What is it? Master of orchestra. Dirigent, yeah. They were flying up and took his only garment, and then he was only dressed with the wind. That was his only dress. So he was so sad, and Damayanti was with him all this time. It is a long, long story. Then, at the very end, it is a happy end. Kali left his body. He was driven out because Nala was protected by his previous pious activities, and he rejoined with his wife Damayanti. It is a great drama. It is certainly one of the greatest love stories in the world. But it makes a nice point also for us Vaishnavas. And that is that if you are not careful, Kali can influence you. It is actually described that this whole tragedy happened after King Nala gave himself a weak point. He didn't wash himself after passing stool. He didn't take a shower. He was too much impassioned. And this was a mistake he did. And then Kali could grab him so that he was not able to stop when he was losing in that play of diet. So my main point is not that all the Sankirtan devotees must from now on always take a shower after doing that kind of activity. My point is that one is very vulnerable for the attack of Maya. Even in sleep, Maya can come and all of a sudden she enters our dreams and we see things and do activities which we do not want to do. Like we might see ourselves eating some meat or something crazy. Maya can bring us in troubles on the subtle and also on the gross platform. So in Krishna consciousness, we have to be aware of how Maya can enter. I'm just reading in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam the story of Puranjana. Puranjana completely comes under the control of his wife, which is representing the intelligence. It is described for, I'm talking now of material husband and wife relationships, that there is a desire in the wife to control the husband so that the husband will give a maximum amount of sense gratification. So, therefore, some Vedics, and whenever the house, the husband is not giving it, then the wife becomes disturbed and gives him trouble. This is usually the tragedy of material life. So, for the husband to achieve peace, it is advised in some scriptures which talk about the material aspect of life that the wife should be always satisfied with nice bangles, good saris, and children. Because otherwise it might create a hellish situation. But for spiritual life, this is not advised. For spiritual life, we should not satisfy our friends and partners' weaknesses for material life. In a spiritual life, the husband helps his wife, and the wife helps her husband so that they don't fall a victim to their sloppiness, their weaknesses. Slobodsky. So, now this is the analogy. It means that the wife is representing by the mind and the intelligence. Our material mind and material intelligence always want us to make arrangements for our sense enjoyment. Someone who follows his mind and someone who follows his intelligence, material intelligence, he is compared to a weak husband who loses all his strength and all his good reputation becomes because he becomes a slugi of his wife. Puranjana was such a weak person. It is described when the queen ate something, he ate something. The queen is the mind and the intelligence. When the queen went someplace, he followed that. When the queen was very happy, he also was very happy. When the queen was very sad, he lamented. When the queen lay down on a bed, he lay down with her. When the queen went and drank, he drank. In other words, he just followed the queen. So, in a similar way, a living entity who follows his mind and intelligence is compared to Puranjana, who is like a slugi. Now, in the Bhagavatam, one incident is described where he did not follow. And then the queen became very angry. And because he was such a dog, so to say, a lusty dog, he went back to the queen and followed everything she desired. He followed everything. So this is... Sometimes when we come to Krishna consciousness, we don't follow our mind and our intelligence. We follow higher instructions. And then our mind and intelligence become disturbed, like the queen. Why are you not following me? Satisfy me. And then, if the devotee gives in, he is in... So, in a similar way, we have to not give in to our wives. Brahmacharis and Grihastas, Madhajis and Prabhus should be very aware that their mind and intelligence is just like a queen, you know. There's a slang word, I think, in New York, a drag queen, isn't it? Gopinath Prabhu, is there such a drag queen? Drag queen. No? I heard drag queen is someone who grabs, it's like a prostitute, or some crazy type, transvestite or something. And at least they grab people into put them in their room, take them in their room and have sinful activities. They just drag them from the street. So our mind and intelligence is something like a drag queen. Come, living entities, follow me. I will bring you to hell. To a sweet hell with shlagam. So that you don't recognize it. We must be very careful to not go to this shlagam hell, this hidden hell, this discovered hell. Very important point. Now, how to do this? We must control our mind and intelligence. One thing, we have to control it by coming to the morning program. I have videoed it in my own life that sometimes the mind and the intelligence don't want to come to the program. They want to sleep or do something private, read or eat, or make a walk, something, and don't come to Guru Pooja, just come to the deities of the greetings of the deities. I wanted to talk a little on this because I see it also in this temple, like it is everywhere is an all-pervading disease. This is not good, because see, this program, every aspect of this program has a very significant meaning. When we rise early, we are preparing for deathlessness. Then, when we come to the deities, we see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We greet Him. It's such an intimate thing. You come actually to the bed of the Lord. See, in the morning, you cannot, only if you're very close to a king, you can see him actually. You can come to his bed and say, nice to see you, you know. And so on. Because he's still in his private dress. So Krishna in the morning is still in his sleeping dress. It is so intimate, this morning arati ceremony, because you come to the bed of the Lord and, you know, are very intimate with him. It prepares you for also for your eternal life with Krishna. Then we chant our japa. As you all know, if you do not chant in the morning, your rounds have the tendency to be spaced out rounds, because the mind is simply not so fixed due to different activities which we do during the day. And then the Guru Pooja is there. It is very important if we go to the Guru Pooja. I remember once in Hyderabad, the devotees had a late feast. It must have been a Sunday feast. So then they came to the, then they made the, they woke up very late in the morning because of all this heavy prasadam. And they just were almost ready for the Guru Pooja. So Prabhupada came. In Hyderabad, I do not know if you ever were there on our farm, you have this wonderful big tree which gives a lot of shade. And on the foot of the tree, we have, like it is custom in everywhere in India, a little cement, like plateau, platform, where you can sit and do everything, take prasadam, rest, and also do Guru Pooja. So that plateau was used in the evening for this feast, and it was all sticky with halava and juice and sweet ball juice, you know. It was, so they just were able to put the Vyasasan there and couldn't clean it. When Srila Prabhupada came already out of his little hut, he had a little hut, and went on the platform, so he got sticky feet from all this gulab jamun juice. And one devotee was seeing the discomfort of Srila Prabhupada, so, you know, as he was walking through the sticky, over the sticky platform. And that devotee took out his knife to clean some dried sweet rice to take it off, you know. So Srila Prabhupada, to give us an instruction, is becoming very angry. The worship of your spiritual master is very important, he said. And when he saw this unfortunate devotee with his knife, you know, you better take the knife and cut your throat, he said. You are so slobby and such a lingivats. You better cut your own throat. Because he wanted to make the point that it is important to come for the Guru Pooja and arrange for the Guru Pooja. It is not that he said it for himself. He said it for all of us. That we would understand we go and satisfy Krishna through satisfying our spiritual master. If we don't satisfy our spiritual master, we cannot satisfy Krishna. This is we sing about this in our saksa and yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. In every morning we sing like this. If you satisfy the spiritual master, then the Lord is satisfied. If you don't satisfy the spiritual master, the Lord cannot be satisfied with you. So this is very important, the Guru Pooj. And we should not cheat ourselves by not coming to the Guru Pooj and think, well, one time is enough, you know, it's one song. So I will come to Prabhupada's Guru Pooj, then I can save the time from my Guru Pooj and do more interesting things than satisfying the Supreme Lord. This is not satisfying. Worshipping. It's the question of worship. By worshipping our spiritual master, we worship Krishna. Yes, we should not miss this opportunity of this Guru Pooja. We can be very happy that we have such a nice program. And if we just become a little bit more realized, we will have ecstatic realizations while we do these processes. When we come in the morning before the deity, there will be a time when we see actually how Krishna is receiving us. When we perform our Guru Pooj, there will be a realization where we see how dependent we are on the good wishes of our spiritual master. We will see this. Don't think because now we don't see it, we will never see it. If the process of Krishna consciousness is such that when you follow it, it will purify you, and with a purified vision you will see everything in Krishna consciousness. So let us not become like Puranjana, who follows his queen, his drag queen. This is a very good word, I think, but although it is only used by low-class people. Let us better follow Ambarish Maharaj, not Puranjana. Ambarish Maharaj fixed his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. He focused his eyes on the deities. With his nose, he was smelling the flowers offered to the deity. With his legs, he went to the temple. With his hands, he cleansed the temple of the Lord. With his ears, he heard Krishna Katha. And with his tongue, he spoke about Krishna. And if we engage like this in the sadhana, in the process of devotional service, it will be 100% sure that we also will become free souls, like we were reading this morning. The need of the spirit soul is that he wants to get out of the limited sphere of material bondage and fulfill his desires for complete freedom. But we can't attain this freedom if we remain slugis like Puranjana. Slugis, slugas. Sluga. Sluga is plural? Sluga, if we remain sluga of our...
Very difficult.
What?
Dramatic.
Yeah. Good. I want to end here. Do you have any? What is the plural of Pitanya? Is question, right?
It's also plural.
Singular and plural?
Singular is also Pitanya.
Pitanya.
Pitanya is
plural. Pitanya is singular. Pitanya is plural. Good. Do you have any Pitanya?
Yes.
Shuddhadvaita. I heard about Advaita, Advaita, and Shuddhadvaita. So, and I read about it.
Shuddhadvaita, this is Ramanuja's philosophy, isn't it?
No, we should.
Yeah, no. It's Vishnu. Nimbakas or Vishnu Swami. No, Vishuddhadvaita. That's Ramanuja's philosophy. There's a word we also, Vishuddhadvaita. It means that see, Advaita means we are one with the Lord in all respects. Vishuddhadvaita philosophy means that we are also spiritual like the Lord. We are one with the Lord, but not in quantity, but only quality. It's in other words, purified monism. That's the translation. In Krishna consciousness, we have this also this aspect in our philosophy. We say, for instance, you become one of the with the Lord when you become one in interest of the Lord. When your interest is only what is Krishna's interest, then you are actually one with the Lord. But when we say, but with this oneness, we mean something different than the Mayavadi philosopher.
Shuddhadvaita, yes, Shuddhadvaita or Shuddhadvaita. I heard that Shrivati doesn't chant Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya between the rounds. Should we or should we not chant Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya between the rounds? I heard that it is necessary to chant this mantra only before chanting and after chanting. All 16 rounds, and not between each round.
Yeah. First of all, I would like to. I will ask him if he does. This is often so many misunderstandings because it was not correctly understood what he said. We chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra because Lord Chaitanya is very merciful and offenses against the holy name which we are committed are removed if we take shelter by Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. So with this mantra we are doing it, and there is no rule actually that we should do it before every round. I've never heard such a rule when to chant it. But there is a rule that you take shelter. So if one devotee takes shelter like that, and another takes shelter like that, this is the same. Because what counts is taking shelter. Yes, any?
What about this week's book? It's very important. And this that you should always follow program. And but it's a fact that actually this is the most difficult. Regularly doing this is becomes actually a very difficult thing to do.
Yes.
And. And since we are not in that stage that we understand completely this, then how can we? And sometimes it's how can we? Sometimes happen that you really sometimes appears something that you cannot do this, or you know it's very difficult. Or Shastra that it's very difficult to make distinction when it's really necessary and when it's not, because there is always very very important arguments. To not do or to do, then how to do this?
Yeah, I would say definitely there are exceptions when we are, for instance, in a service which requires that we cannot, like for instance at this time the cooks have to cook the preparation, and the Sankirtan devotees, they do a very short program because they have to distribute books. And Kripadayal might have to go out early to Zagreb for the printers, or you know, or there are many reasons, or buy flowers, or which have to be done at this time. Someone has to buy flowers, and all, and the pujaris have to do things, services around the altar, which may require them in the kitchen when there's lecture. I don't talk of this. There are certainly reasons like that. I'm talking of those who are not having any service during this time, and they don't come to the program because of a lack of attraction. In our Heidelberg temple, we have a Jalpa sofa, which is crowded during the lectures with devotees who have Prajalpa mission. So I'm talking. In Heidelberg, we have a Prajalpa sofa.
Ah, sofa.
Yes. Yeah. And this is crowded during the lecture. This is what I mean. So we should. The reason for this is that we don't have any attraction for the program. It becomes stale and even a burden. Like if you don't see the holy name, if you don't know what the holy name is, and if you do not see the deities, then you think I prefer rock and roll. Why always the same song, Sangsara Dhamana? Like, this is not. Let us play every morning a different rock and roll song. Then I would dance. You know, one day we have the Beatle morning, and then we have the Haino morning, and then, you know, folk song morning, and so on. You know what I mean to say? If we do not understand what this Hare Krishna is, and the deities, it becomes a burden for us. Therefore, when we do our concerts, we are taking care that we chant melodies which people can hear, and we make all kinds of, we dance, and we make all kinds of arrangements so that the attraction, that the attention will be captured. So when we are in a state where we think, oh, this morning program is boring, I will die when I go to it from boredom. This means our tongue is covered with jaundice. So that which is sweet tastes bitter. Now, in order to taste the sweeter sugar, we have this. I have not heard. But the Bhagavatam is a transcendental sound vibration. Raghunath Goswami, he says, even if the inhabitants of Vrindavan seem to talk ordinary prajalpa, they will be worshipable for me. Because it's transcendental sound vibration. Even as I said, even if one is present, when devotees just talk ordinarily, like, where are you coming from, Prabhu? Yes, I am from Sweden, or so on. Then it's also because devotees say it, it is transcendental sound vibration. See, in the sound there's something else, and in the which you don't really see with your intellect, and that's transcendence. When a devotee opens his mouth, I mean, I'm talking of a real devotee, not Prajapakin, you know, the Prajapakraj. We don't have any Prajapakraj in Yugoslavia, but there's some Prajapakrajs in our movement. So, not that kind of thing. But if a serious devotee talks, just seeing him and talking him, it's remembering, it's very sweet. Like when you hear Bhakti Charu Swami, we were all joking, Bandhu Mui Havadhana. It is very elevating in Krishna consciousness. Well, I was thinking, once he talked about Western rock and roll music. He said it's loud screaming and a solid beat. Loud screaming and a solid beat. I was thinking, yes, how nice anybody is. Solid, huh? Good. Yes. Offend them. I have the rule that I eat in those houses where the principles are followed. Because even though I know they are not very advanced and all, but if I say no, then it would mean I don't have myself faith in the process of offering prasadam. I'm teaching them how to offer. But when the principles are not followed, chanting, yeah, they also have to chant, but not necessarily 16 rounds. Sometimes beginners are just chanting 8 rounds or 9 rounds or 10 rounds that they offer. So as a preacher, I take from there. Maybe as a preacher, it's different for preachers, I guess, who have the service to elevate the condition soul, and who have therefore special protection by Lord Chaitanya. But otherwise, no, actually, I have the rule 16 rounds also. 16 rounds in the principle. But they, it's not, no, here is it. It's not need, I also accept from uninitiated people. Because they do their offering in good Krishna consciousness, I mean, they do want to satisfy the devotees and they have their home altar, if they are serious in Krishna consciousness. But you have to be extremely careful to eat in the house of someone who is not serious, because you will, your mind will be polluted. Better you starve. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he was once invited by a great king to give lectures. However, the pandits didn't want him to lecture, since they would fear the king would become a great friend of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's and give up sponsoring them. So the king had big offerings made, which were offered also brought to Bhakti Siddhanta, but he for 4 days only took a tulsi leaf. And
because this man, this king, was materially influenced by these pandits and was not allowing, was consenting that he would not preach, and therefore he was not accepting anything, although this man was, you know, somewhat inclined towards Vaishnavas and maintained temples and so on. So we must be extremely careful. One of the things is when we are in Sankirtan, we start eating everything and anything, or if we take from friends whom we know don't follow the principles and who don't chant, they have to chant 69. Or if there is someone who has just started and he was very enthusiastic, and you know in a few days he will be a greater devotee than you, or in a few years, you know, then for encouragement I also do this, but usually not. Yeah, what I'm doing is I'm saying, well, I'm a fruit man. you just buy some fruits and I will offer them. And then we have a fruit feast. There are so many nice things you can do with food. Grapes, sweet grapes, apples, strawberries, then dates. Nuts. Then you can make some shlagam, fudge, put it over it. Then there's more than enough for everyone and the birds. Yes, when this when it's awkward, because they want to give finish and recruitment. Sorry. But when people, for instance, Indians, and they bring these food, oh, would I have known it? I would have been so, I would have told you just today is a fast day. I can't break it. But you can put some food, you can put it together, you, and give it with me. I will eat it in great happiness next day. And then you have a whole bag of sinfully polluted boga, you know, which goes like hellish planets and eat me, you know, and then you just throw it away. Somewhere there is no one sees. I remember when I was in Krishna consciousness very young, someone gave me this big piece of hashish. You know, I was doing kirtan. And I was so shocked, you know, it started, you know, I wanted to immediately throw it away, you know, but this would be too much hurting the Kami, he said. He wanted to do the best possible service, you know. I immediately wanted to throw it away, but then, so then I hold it, and then one other devotee saw, come on, you're not going to keep this. And he was throwing it down. We were on a bridge, you know, doing kirtan. And then a car came. It fell in the rain. And then a car came over it, you know, and it was going all over the street. And the hippie saw it. Maybe, I don't know what is the price of these things, but it must have been a little expensive. And then he went down the bridge, you know, and he looked. He couldn't believe it. And his face was destroyed completely. He wanted just to do some service. We must be very careful with food. Never accept food which is unbonafide. This makes your mind dirty, and then you wonder why you admire. Why me? Therefore, the cook has a very responsible duty. And if there's a cook who is in good Krishna consciousness, our devotees will be also helped very much in their Krishna consciousness. Shouldn't just be very tasty, but it should be with love and devotion cooked, and then our devotees will. There's one devotee in Germany, very nice devotee, the Mataji. Whenever she cooks, it is just so much devotion, so much bhakti. It is very nice. It becomes immediately enlivened to Krishna consciousness. Her name is also Bhakti Devi. Just like the name. Yes, Rishabha. Maharaj, Rishabha. Rishabha like Rishabdev, isn't it? Or no? Rishabha. Ah, Rishabha. Oh.
Animals like rats, mice, which are making damage, you know, to give them the poison or what?
Yeah, when it's a question, we discussed this in the temple, this in regards to little animals who attack Tulsi, the Tulsi plant. Srimati Tulsi Devi, and it was one bhakta who didn't want to use the spray because he didn't want to kill. So I told him, these animals are attacking a pure devotee and you are tolerating it. What is your understanding? We should defend. And if these animals are actually attacking, then we must fight them. It's allowed in the very scriptures to kill an aggressor, someone who puts fire on your house, who gives poison, who steals your wife, who takes the land, and who attacks with fatal weapons. You can just... Of course, when we have these mice, we should try first non-violent attacks. I remember, what we do in Schloss, in Rettershof, in the farm is, we have these cages, and we have some prasadam in there, and then they come in, and then it goes clack, and then they are in the cage, and then we have a 20 cages, and after every night we have a mouse express and we put them in the forest. But if it doesn't work, if they are somehow too much rascal, first we try the non-violent, because we are Vaishnavas, we don't want to kill anyone. First we are non-violent, and then we are also violent if it's a question of defending Krishna. The thing with the aggressors, killing an aggressor applies to Kshatriyas, but we are not Kshatriyas. Like Vedic Kshatriyas. Come on, fight! We are not like that. Non-violent means. Prabhupada's father, what he did? He put with mice, he was dealing with cloth merchant. He put a bowl of rice before he left, and then they ate rice, the mice, and not the cloth. And in this way the problem was solved. They helped themselves with the rice. So wonderful, this Vedic civilization. A householder is actually expected to feed the mice in his house. He should not just take care of his children, but also of the mice and everything. equipment. But you know, when it's a question, when they attack Krishna, when they eat away the deity's cloth, or, you know, then you have to be first non-violence, then you can be heavy with them. Ladies and gentlemen, either you go or I declare war. Like this to the anybody. Yeah?
So I think we have come to a natural end. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Jai.